today on Real Radio.
If I choose to be with you, then that is heartwarming. If you choose to be with me, that's heartwarming. And that is the basis of a true relationship. And that's the God of the Bible. He invites you. He wants you to be with him in heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Heaven, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible speaks about eternity. There's the eternity of heaven that brings joy, peace, glory, love, and light. But when we deny God to pursue our own passions, there's the eternal reward of the flesh. The Bible is clear that to die in that condition is certain ruin. We all need to consider where we will spend eternity. Today in part one of this end-of-the-year message, Pastor Jack tells us that all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will inherit eternal life in heaven. God created a perfect world here on earth, but he gave us as humans the ability to choose. When we choose to follow Christ, we will be a recreated human being. We'll be fully redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. And now in his message called Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But in light of so much of what's happened and what's happening in our church family, you got to remember, you're one of three services today. There's three different churches, so to speak, that have met here today. You're one in the sense of third service. There's a lot of people that attend. And a lot of people attending means there's a lot of issues in people's lives. And I don't know what, I've never seen it like this before, but there's been a lot of deaths. There's been a lot of them. Some of them, you know, are anticipated. Some of them either by prolonged illnesses or by age, and some of them by what is perceived to be anyway, although God has his plan, but crises. Tragedies, we would call them, although that's hard to say as a Christian, tragedies, because our God knows everything. And we lean upon him and we trust him that he knows all, as he says, and he's working all things out to a perfect plan. Today, we're going to be talking about heaven. Father, we ask of you now, Lord, in the hearing of this message and the reading of the Word of God, that, Father, we would be as a people very, very determined to follow you and to love on you and to know you and to see to it that in our own lives we repent of all those things that we just read a moment ago that are active and a life focused on the flesh, and that we would have repented and come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As we've read a moment ago from these passages, you want to give us heaven. You've invited us there. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Considering heaven today, the Bible is plump with descriptions of heaven from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is really mentioning everything in light of the fact of eternity. And for the record, and you saw that in the closing verse of Revelation 21:8, there is an eternity that exists, period. But within that eternity, there's eternal light and glory and salvation and joy and love and everything good. And on the other side, there's eternity that is that which is the reward of the flesh, that the things that we have done in our flesh and pursued for our own satisfaction, when we denied God and fled from God and pursued our own passions, to die in that state or that condition is certain ruin. But in this church, body of believers, I'm persuaded of the greater thing for you, because you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, that the Bible makes it very clear that sinners are saved when they put their faith in the finished work of Christ, that all those who turn to him who died on the cross there in your place, in my place, God was judging his son at the cross, not that his son had committed sin, but the Bible says that God went to the cross, and the Father placed all of our sin upon the atoning Son of God. Jesus died in our place, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead to ensure our salvation. And for all those who put their trust in him, they inherit eternal life. As we look at this, we have Michelangelo's tremendous artistry, his great work of this famous painting. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to be in Rome or to be in places that display such incredible work. I know the Sistine Chapel, if you've been to Rome, you've taken a tour of that. But getting back to Michelangelo, this is his rendering of God. This is God here with his outstretched right arm. It's been said that this display of his hand is the hand of power, that inside this orb of his great robe is future creation, that those within here are yet to be created, that this is in the mind of God. This side is the mind of God. You see various images here that are coming to life, as it were, so to speak. Look at Eve over here. She's not yet created, but she's in the mind of God. I love that. It's awesome. And she's looking. I don't know if she's looking at, well, she looks pleased, I should say that, with Adam's looks. I guess he looks great to her. Michelangelo renders this. Here you've got the arm, the left arm of weakness. So the right arm of God's power, the left arm of man's weakness. And you see where Adam's hand is not alive yet. It's going to come to strength. It's going to come to life when God touches or brings life into Adam. And Adam, of course, will become a living being. The Bible says that God will breathe into Adam the breath of life, and he will become a living soul. In this moment of creation, when God's breathed into Adam the breath of life, think of it for a moment, both philosophically, physically, scientifically, God breathed into Adam the breath of life and the pump started. Imagine that. His cardiovascular system sprang into action. His heart began beating. His lungs began beating. Adam stood erect as a created man, a human. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, that it is God who created us in his image. That is his moral likeness. God gave you the human attributes that is native only to God, not to angels, not to animals, but God made you in his image. That means you can have reason, logic, you can have passion, and you can express, and you can have all of these in miniature, what God is in totality, yet he's perfect. We now are imperfect because of what happened at some time after Eve came forth. The Bible tells us that Eve sinned. And then when Adam was given opportunity, he didn't sin. He did something worse. Eve sinned. She was deceived by the devil. The Bible tells us, but Adam transgressed. Adam saw the sin of Eve, and he looked at God, he looked at Eve, he looked at God, he looked at Eve, and he chose Eve. And I'm not here to criticize him. There must have been a bond of love that no man, no person, no woman has ever experienced since. But it must have been something for Adam to love Eve and for Eve to love Adam, because when they looked at God, they chose one another instead of God. Think of that. From that moment on, God has been working to redeem us back. Why? Because God wants us in heaven. God created a perfect world. Yes, built into that world was the world of choice. You say, Jack, if God created a perfect world, then why did it all go cockeyed and goof up? Because God introduced into that perfect world something called a human. If there was ever human error, the Garden of Eden had it. And that was Adam and Eve. Because God created these two people with a perfect ability to relate to one another in a mutual, willful exchange. You have that power today. God made mankind that way. We see no evidence of this regarding exactly fully as angels or as animals. You do. And you can exercise your true love by the decision you make. You can't have worship, you can't have love, you can't have a relationship unless you, by nature, introduce the option of choice. Are you with me? If I choose to be with you, then that is heartwarming. If you choose to be with me, that's heartwarming. And that is the basis of a true relationship. And that's the God of the Bible. He invites you. He wants you to be with him in heaven. And a lot of people in this church, a lot of wonderful people have been suffering. And they've been sending their children, their husbands, their wives, their moms, dads to heaven at a time of burial and returning the body to the earth for a season anyway. That's for sure, not forever. Bible's clear on that. We bury the body, but that child or that man is long gone. A believer in Jesus, a lover of God. The Bible, as you well know, says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But how much do you know about heaven? What do you know about it? Do you actually think about it? Do you ponder it? When you read the Bible, are you careful to decipher what you're reading? Is that a millennial kingdom verse? Is that a heaven verse? What is this I'm reading? From Genesis to Revelation, thousands of times, heaven, eternity, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned throughout Scripture, all with the point that God wants you to be there. And we read it a moment ago in Matthew's gospel. God says that in the end, here's the deal. You all will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you believe in the Bible? It's going to happen. Amen. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Amen. God says so. Are you trusting Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to him? Do you understand that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe he rose again from the dead? You're going to have dinner with Abraham. Amen. You're going to sit down with Jacob. You're going to learn some, I want to ask him, Jacob, how did you know about genetic engineering when you did that with the goats? That was brilliant. How'd you know that? I want to know about Isaac, him and Rebecca, one of the greatest love stories ever told. I want to know about that. There's so much, I can't wait to meet George Washington, by the way. He'll be there. Washington will be there. I want to talk to Noah. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? You're actually going to talk to Noah? So are you. You don't need to wait in line? No, we're there forever. You got the time. It's going to work. It's going to be great. Listen, aren't you going to want to talk? I tell you what, I want to talk to Job. And I'll tell you the reason. Not for what you think. Job. How did he know? Job, the oldest book in the Bible. Before there was Abraham, before there was Moses, before there was anybody, Job was the first guy. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Did you know that? And Job said this, I know that though I perish and my body returns back to the earth, I know someday I will stand before God in my flesh and I will behold him face to face. Not another, not somebody else, but me. I will see him. Amen. Job said that. The oldest book in the Bible. How do you know that? God revealed that to him. Heaven. When we read about heaven, there's portions of Scripture, it boggles our minds when we look to see what God says about heaven. But understand this, as today our time obviously is limited and we're talking about an infinite topic, is the fact that, cheer up everybody, God's work in us, he's going to recreate us as human beings. Somebody say amen to that. He's going to recreate us, and that's an important word. I want you to understand this. He is not going to annihilate us and then bring us a new world or a new life or a new Jack or a new Jill or a new Fred or a new Barney. No, listen, according to Bible doctrine, he's going to recreate us. He doesn't make you vaporize and then start over on you. According to the doctrine of resurrection found in the Bible, God is going to recreate you. He's going to resurrect you. He has to. Christian, listen, if you don't know, you better know it now. The Bible does not believe in reincarnation. That is Eastern mysticism and it's paganism. We do not believe in reincarnation. The Bible teaches resurrection. What does that mean? That means the Bible says the dust that we are, you know, we are dust. Did you know that? We're just really fancy looking dust. That when we die, we return back to dust regarding the body. But read the fine print. The dust that we are is the dust that we go back to being in the earth. And that dust is never, never missed by God. The Bible says God will resurrect all those who have died believing in Christ unto glory. Unto glory. Listen. Read John chapter 5. And again, read the fine print. All human beings will be resurrected someday. All of them. The Bible says in John 5, some will be resurrected and condemned to hell, and some will be resurrected and enter into the glories of heaven. There's a resurrection for all. But the question is, where will you spend eternity? And God says, and he goes out of his way to communicate to you in this book called the Bible that he wants you in heaven with him. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. Why would anyone want to go there? Strange thing is, there are people who would rather choose that than to be in the presence of God. And so God will answer their prayer. They don't want God. They'll have an eternity without him. And that's called hell. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about heaven. Imagine for a moment, as Christians, we ought to know about heaven, but imagine for a moment if we were to take a drive up the freeway to JPL, and they're training astronauts for a Mars flight. Can you imagine these astronauts? You know, these guys are scientists. These women are scientists. They come walking out of a briefing room. Can you imagine if you're standing out there in the parking lot and you see Mr. Astronaut, what's his face? Or Mrs. Astronaut, what's her face? And you say, I understand you're going to Mars. Yep, we're going to Mars. What's it like? What's it going to be like? What if, oh, I don't know exactly. I know I'm going. I just don't know much about it. I don't know if I'd feel very good about that. See, boy, you're going to get inside this thing, they're going to light this thing like a candle and throw it into space, and you don't even know much about where you're going? You listen, how many Christians don't know much about heaven? Well, I know I'm going, but I can't, you know, I'll tell you when I get there. Nope, no way. No, God has gone beyond. He tells us, for example, as you look at it, watch this, you got to watch my hands, because I'm not smart enough to articulate it with words. Listen. You've got the perfect world that was created by God, and Adam and Eve inhabited that perfect world for what length of time we do not know before Adam and Eve fell. But it was perfect to the point where God says Adam and Eve are perfect, that all of God's creation was perfect. And God says at the end of it all, he says, it is very good. And what was it that was very good? Think now for your mind. Let out the line. Let out the line. Was it beautiful? He said, I created the heavens and the earth. In our minds, we are so restrictive in our minds regarding what's good. In our minds, we think, oh, the Garden of Eden, what was it, 5 acres, 10 acres? Was there a fence? But did they peek over the wall? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why do we think like this? He says, I've created the heavens and the earth. Then he tells Adam and Eve, I want you to not only enjoy everything. What does that mean? Everything. But I want you to have dominion over the earth, and I want you to have dominion over all the animals and all the beasts that are in the sea. I want you to have dominion over them. I want you to be a steward. You know what, Adam and Eve? This is your job, and you're going to love it. Not because he said so, because he knew who he had created. They would love tending to the gardens. They would love the sea creatures. They would love the animal life. God says, it's so good. Can you let your mind out a little bit and realize Adam and Eve were in the garden and there were animals and it was perfect and it was awesome. That's how they lived. God was completely fine with that existing forever. Of course, God, knowing all things, knew that Adam and Eve would sin. Then the world fell into sin, and Adam and Eve went from being able to live forever, which, by the way, listen, they were created physically, just like you and I are right now, okay? Physical. But they ate from the tree of life. You know, the Bible says they ate from the tree of life. The trees in the garden were there. All of the trees were there for them to eat and to enjoy. Doesn't it say that? Except one, okay? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree of choice, if you think about it. You choose. Do this or not, it's there. Here's the point. God wasn't being mean. He was saying, there's a time for that tree. Now's not the time. And they were to eat. And in their, listen, if you're a scientist in here today, listen up. In their physicalness, though they were dwelling with God, God would meet with them in the garden, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. There was a part of them that was sustained by these various fruits and these various items of which they ate. And it continued to propagate their life, and it seemed that that relationship would go on forever. Isn't it interesting that in heaven, the Bible says that we will eat from the tree of life? Wow. The Bible tells us in one story of creation that it's perfect, and then there's this, we'll just call intermediate time when man has been in a fallen state. You may not like me saying that today, but just listen up. A fallen state. What does that mean? When we talk about you and I being created in the image of God and God has a plan for us in heaven, when you look at Scripture, an overview of Scripture, did you know, for example, that in heaven we will live very productive and very purposeful lives? You ever stop to think about that? Jesus mentions often what it's like in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells us that our life lived here now for him in faithfulness actually translates into future glories in eternity. How does that work? I don't know, except that what you and I do morally, ethically, spiritually, matters to God, and that currency translates into our eternal existence. See, you and I, we have a hard time focusing on that because we're physical creatures, too much so. We focus too much on the physical nature of things. It's all about the body. It's all about how I look, how I feel, what's in it for me, where are we going? It's comfortable, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's very Cinderella-like. And God says, look beyond, this is passing away, look beyond. And I thank God for all of you. These services, look, it's beautiful. Honestly, services filled all day long. And I appreciate that because you know why? In my mind, I'm looking at the pendulum swing to the other side. 300 yards from here is LA Fitness, filled all day long. Okay, I don't know where you were at 6 o'clock this morning, but that place was full at 6 a.m. this morning. What are they doing? Working on the body, taking care of the body. Should we take care of our bodies, people? Absolutely. Why? Because we want to present them to God as useful tools, okay? But you can go overboard, you know? And so if you think about, what if some guy walks out of there and he's just like this? He's just like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger-ish like, and people go, oh, look at that guy. I bet you if Adam were to see us today at our best, he'd say, what a pitiful thing. What is that? Adam had a perfection that we have no knowledge of. We would probably see Adam and say, what is that? Because they were perfect. And the Bible tells us about a time coming when God will have you arrive in heaven, and all of the sin and all of the suffering and all of the death and the war and the mayhem will be past. And you will inherit eternity. And hallelujah, church, when you read the overview of the Bible, you will not be plucking harps in heaven next to diaperless fat angels. That will not be happening. Oh, but don't get me wrong. You will be in heaven, Psalm 150, among other places, praising God. It will be loud. Listen, it will be loud, the Bible says. The Bible says that there's great sound, great music, great worship in heaven. The Bible says that angels bow before God in heaven. The Bible tells us that they shout, and they mean it, by the way, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. And the Bible says they say that day and night forever and ever. And the amazing thing is they mean it. Amen. It's not, oh, here we go. Okay, get up. Got to do it again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. No, they mean it. They're not like us. They know what's going on. All the saints are there. The Bible says all those who have died in Christ and died believing. Imagine that. Think about it. Noah's there. How did Noah get up there? Because he died believing that God would provide the sacrifice. How did Abraham get there? Abraham looked ahead to the builder of a city whose maker is not of human hands, but of God, and that he looked to a sacrifice that would come. How do you get there? You look back to the sacrifice that came. It all comes together at the cross.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special end-of-the-year message called Heaven. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. Our hope is that your 2020 will be filled with rest and peace that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has indeed given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you. Thanks for welcoming us into your home and into your life. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.